Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
It's always an honor to speak here and be a part of this great family of friends. I actually grew up in Baton Rouge, born and raised in Baton Rouge, my wife and I. And so every time we're at Healing Place, we feel like we're coming back home, coming back to a great group of friends. Of course, Johnny. Come on, let's give it up for Johnny Green, a little Johnny Green flow today. And it's awesome. Johnny and Lance and Lee Domain and Rusty Domain. Come on, the Domain boys. Rusty and Denise have been amazing friends of ours and influence in our lives for many, many years, as have many people here at Healing Place Church. And it's an awesome privilege for me to be here right here at the end of June. Come on, who's having a great summer so far? Good summer down in South Louisiana. I want to bring greetings from Memphis, Tennessee, which is where I am now, where we planted a church 15 years ago, home of the blues. Come on, anybody been to Memphis? Anybody been to Beale Street? Let me see any Beale Street. Been to Beale Street before? Beale Street is like a cleaner Bourbon Street. I don't know how else to describe it. It's a pretty cool place. Also, home of FedEx, Memphis is. And so I always encourage people, you send a package FedEx, you are helping to resource the kingdom of God. We have many, many FedExers in our church. And so we're just privileged to be here, privileged to be a part of the service this weekend. Love your pastors. Dino and Dylan have been great, great friends of ours for many, many years. As a matter of fact, I have the honor of having preached at the original or first building, Healing Place Church building. It was Trinity Christian Center way back in the day, down the street, down here at Highland Road. And so have been friends, and your pastors have been amazing friends to my wife, Leslie, and I have helped us as we got our church started 15 years ago and have just sowed a lot into our lives. We're so thankful for them. And isn't it great that they could have a weekend to get a little rest and a little refreshed this weekend? Come on, how many of you thankful for Pastor Dino and DeLynn? And I tell you what, it's pretty awesome these days, you know, the kind of churches that we lead that you can have here at Healing Place. Such a great team of people that lead and that can speak and minister and gives your pastors the opportunity to have a little weekend off. Come on, they have served and sown into this church for 20 years, and we thank God for that, don't we, church? Thank God for leaders that have, you know, shown the way and sown the way. And so we love Dino and DeLynn. We thank God for them. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to grab your Bibles, turn over to the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings. I want to get into the Word with you for just a few minutes this weekend. And the title of my message is Fed Up, Filled Up, Fired Up. Fed Up, Filled Up, Fired Up. Earlier this year in our church, I did a series on having a vision for your life. It's actually called Dream. Having a dream for your life and having a vision. And I'm not sure that I know of too many things that have the power of vision, that have power like vision. When someone has a vision, when someone has a dream. The Bible actually says that without a vision, people cast off restraint. One translation says, without a vision, people perish. How many of you know, the perishing that the Bible's talking about is, you know, not necessarily a physical death, but we sort of shrivel up and die on the inside if we don't have something that we're reaching for. And you know, for some people, having a vision or having a dream can be a little overwhelming or a little intimidating. We tend to think that, you know, just, you know, having a dream or having a vision means we have to have everything figured out. But I always like to say it this way. A vision or a dream is just a picture of a preferable future. And it could be something that you're thinking, you know, holistically your whole life. But it also could be, you know, in just one area of your life, your marriage and your kids and your finances. You know, I think that we ought to have a picture or a dream in our heart of what we want things to look like. And when we do, it actually helps us to move forward, and it helps us to reach for something bigger, something better, something greater, something more significant. And so I want to talk just for a few minutes about, you know, in a big picture sort of way, simplistic way, some of the stages, three stages of the dream. Fed up would be stage one, filled up would be stage two, fired up would be stage three. And I want us to look at this. I want us to look at this story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me give you the context. Elisha is one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And Elisha had this ministry where he would teach in these different schools of ministry. They had these schools that Elisha would go and teach. And they called it the school of prophets, or they said the company of the prophets, or the sons of prophets. And so Elisha is in class one day with his students. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, that the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us." Everybody say limited. It's too limited for us. One translation says it's too small. They said it's too small for us. "Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live." So he said, "Go." Verse 3, then one said, now this is the valedictorian of the class right here. This is the smartest guy in the class, because Elisha said go, but he took it a step further. He said, "Please be willing to go with your servants." In other words, we love the green light, we love the thumbs up, but we don't want to go without you. And so he said, "I shall go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." In other words, he was swinging at a tree, and the axe head broke off of the axe and went into the water. And he sort of panicked. He had this panic look, and he and Elijah caught eyes, and he said to Elisha, "Oh, man, I borrowed this axe from a friend." And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, "Take it up for yourself." So he put out his hand and took it. Come on, how many of you are glad sometimes that God will do miracles even for the small things in your life? How many of you know this didn't really have an eternal consequence? He lost an axe head. Come on, we can buy another one. But sometimes God will move on your behalf just to show you that he is interested in every single detail of your life. Is anybody thankful for that beside me? Yes. And so here's the man of God reaching forward and doing a little miracle for this man. Fed up, filled up, fired up. Let's start with the first one. Fed up. Everybody say fed up. Fed up. This is kind of where these guys were at the beginning of this story. They came to Elisha and they said, "The place where we are living is too small for us. It's too limited for us." They started to feel confined and they started to feel contained. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? They started bumping into each other, and you know, the line at the bathroom in the morning was getting too long. Somebody was always taking too much time in the morning. It was claustrophobic. They were starting to feel constrained, confined, limited. It was too small. You see, this is where some of us get sometimes in our lives, where we start running into ourselves. We start running into other people, and we just start feeling like, you know, everything is closing in on us. It's like, this is like the divine dissatisfaction stage. You're starting to get dissatisfied in a good way. I'm not talking about discontented, but you're dissatisfied. You feel like, you know, you just feel like things should be bigger, that you should be further along. And so you start starting to get sort of a bigger picture. You're getting a vision for something a little bigger. This is a great place to start in your life. If you want to think about your vision and think about your dream, you ask yourself, what am I tired of? What am I tired of? You know, if you stop and ask yourself that question, you say, what am I tired of? Maybe you're tired of always, you know, not having enough money. You're tired of always living from paycheck to paycheck. And you know that God wants to do bigger things in your life, but you seem like you're always struggling financially. And so maybe for you, you just want to get this picture, this vision, you know, that God can move your life forward financially. Get a dream for your finances. Maybe you're tired of all the drama in your life. So you need to get a vision or a picture for some healthy relationships, some peace at home. Am I talking to anybody today? Maybe you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then you just need to get a vision for your physical life and for your health. Whatever it is, it's a good place to start by asking yourself, what am I tired of? What's bringing frustration into my life? And you realize you're kind of in that fed up stage where you're kind of fed. And it may not be whole. It may not be your whole life. It may just be one area of your life. But here's the key. Here's the key. You have to connect your fed upness to a sense of responsibility. See, too many people, when they look at, you know, challenges in their life, or they look at where they're not and where they want to be, they, you know, too many people tend to blame other people and tend to blame circumstances rather than accepting responsibility for where they are. I'm telling you, the surest way to begin to move forward in your life is to accept responsibility. It's so easy to blame other people. The problem is, when you blame other people, you're actually empowering that person. You're actually empowering that circumstance. You're actually saying that that thing or that person has greater power in your life than the power of God that's on the inside of you. You know, when you study the Word of God and you find, you know, when Adam and Eve first fell into sin, the very first thing they did was blame. It's really the first symptom, you know, when you start realizing you're operating in the flesh rather than in the Spirit of God. It's because you're blaming someone else. Think about it. You can look it up in Genesis chapter 3 when God came to Adam and said, did you eat of that, you know, the fruit of that tree? And the first two words out of Adam's mouth, the woman. He said, the woman. He actually blamed both Eve and God in the same breath. The woman you gave me. And so God turns to Eve and says, what have you done? And what did Eve say? The serpent, the devil made me do it. Come on, how many of you know that's the old? He gets more credit than he deserves. But we tend to blame rather than accepting responsibility. Now listen to me. You know, if you want to move out of that fed up stage quick, take responsibility for where you are. Start talking about the dream and the vision that you have and start reaching for it. Otherwise, if you're blaming other people, you'll end up living in the land of fed up. And we were never meant to live there. We're meant to pass through, and that little divine dissatisfaction sort of starts stirring us so we begin to move forward in our lives. And we have to make sure, listen to me, that we've got to make sure that it's more than just, you know, that we're after more than just an emotional release. You know, sometimes what we don't realize is we just go from basically like an emotional release to an emotion. And it can even happen in church. We come into church and there's all kind of mess and challenges in our life. And we come into the presence of God and in the presence of man. And with Jesus be the center of it. And then we're weeping and man, we're just like, wow, I feel better. Oh. And then we go right back into what we were doing before. How many of you know? And we think, wow, I feel better, and so that makes things better. Just because you feel better doesn't mean it's better. And it is powerful to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But listen, don't just go from emotional release to emotional release. You're never improving your life. You're never getting better. You're never climbing higher. You're never reaching forward. It's kind of what happened. Actually, when you look at the children of Israel, when they were being released from Egypt, and there were all these plagues. Man, it's a pretty intense time in the history of Israel. All of these plagues coming on Egypt, and it was all for the purpose of breakthrough, of releasing the people of God into their future. But there was this little pattern that kept happening. A plague would come. Pharaoh would decide to release them. Moses would call the plague off, and when Pharaoh felt the release and the relief, he went right back to an old mindset. Listen to it. When Pharaoh saw, Exodus 8, verse 15, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart again and would not listen to Moses and Aaron. Come on, let's make sure our goal is not relief. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Let's make sure that we move beyond just relief, where we actually see transformation and change in our life. Relief is good, but relief ought to be a temporary thing that causes us to recharge our batteries and recharge our faith so we can keep moving forward into all that God has for us. I tell you that one of the funniest things when you read the plagues, one of the funniest moments is the, you know, and these plagues were crazy, like gnats. Come on, down in Louisiana, we know what like gnats are, don't we? Like gnats, can you imagine just like gnats everywhere? No relief. The plague of blood, everything turns to blood. Man, you turn your, you know, bathtub and take a, you know, a bath at night and just blood. Wow. But how about the plague of frogs? Frogs. Rivet, frog. You're just jumping. It could not get any relief. So listen, here's what happened. This is an amazing story. Pharaoh's like, I had enough. No more frogs. Moses comes, and the only time of the 10 plagues, Moses tells Pharaoh, I'm going to leave the honor to you to tell me when you would like this plague of frogs to stop. And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Now, that's the craziest thing I have ever heard. I mean, I would be like, yesterday, like right now, immediately. Pharaoh's like, oh, tomorrow. You know, one more night with the frogs. That would have been a great title to this message, One More Night with the Frog. How many of you know too many people are willing to spend one more night with the frogs? They're willing to endure. You know, here's what's amazing. People are like, well, you know, at least it's my pain. Like, they're taking ownership of the pain, and somehow that makes it better. Come on, we want to move forward. There's nothing glorious about the pain. There's nothing honorable about the fight necessarily. The fight is meant to move us forward into something better, into something greater. And when you kind of have that mentality, one more night with the frogs, how many of you know you haven't gone all the way through the land of fed up yet? But when you get there, when you really are fed up, here's what's interesting. When you're really fed up, you start getting really, really hungry for freedom. Really, really hungry for life and peace. And you read like Galatians 6, the fruit of the Spirit, and you're like, wow, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And you're so hungry for all those things in your life. And when you're really, really fed up and really, really hungry, here's what happens. Then you're willing to empty yourself of you. You sort of come to the end of yourself. You come to the end of your own ideas. You come to the end of your own plans. And you're in this place where you're like almost empty because you've emptied yourself. And it's the greatest place to be because fed upness brings you to that place of emptiness so that you can be filled up with all the right things. And that brings us to that second stage. Filled up, fed up, filled up. Now, I think that guy that spoke up is pretty amazing. And I think we need to think about the fact that he didn't just want the green light from Elisha, but he wanted Elisha to go with him. So you think of it a little bit like an allegory, okay? A little bit like, okay, let's think of it like the sons of the prophets represent me and you. And Elisha represents the Holy Spirit in our life. And so we come to the Holy Spirit because we feel like the place where we're living is too small, and we want to see our lives move forward, and we want freedom, and we want peace, and we have this vision for this. And so we come to the Holy Spirit, and what does the Holy Spirit say? The Holy Spirit says, go. Just like Elisha said, go, because it's the plan of God for us to live, you know, the kind of lives that he wants us to live, significant and full of life and peace. But that one guy didn't stop. He said, okay, I love the green light, but we really don't want to move forward without you. And this is the kind of commitment that you and I need to have. We're not so committed to freedom that we're willing to do anything. We want to do it God's way. We don't need to go around what the Word of God says. We don't need to short circuit and shortcut whatever God's plan is. If God says go, then we want him to go with us, because when he goes with us, we go God's way, and we do it God's way. How many of you know you can do God's plan another way? You get the picture, you get the vision. Man, this is what God has for me. And you end up trying to work it in your own way. I guess nobody here has ever done that before, but. So we want to be filled up, you know, with the right things. And I wrote down, just jotted down a couple of things, actually four things. If you're taking notes, you can just jot these down. We always say at our church that note takers are history makers. How many of you know? Good to take notes in church because you remember, you know, you can file it away. And they actually, there's all these statistics that, you know, you take notes, you end up retaining more. And so if you're taking notes, just jot down these four things real quick. When it comes to being filled up, well, easy to say this one. Number one, we need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something significant that happens to us when we receive Christ. And when we receive Christ, we receive Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's this other experience where we open our lives to everything that God has for us, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit. And then it says this a little later in Acts 2, that, you know, all of the benefits or all of the different things that happen when you're filled with the Spirit. And it says that your sons and your daughters would prophesy and see, you know, have dreams and see visions. So in other words, a part of being filled with the Holy Spirit is this ability to dream big dreams for God. I just encourage you, you know, open your life to everything that God has for you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How about this one? Number two, to be filled up with the knowledge of God. Be filled up with the knowledge of God. It's one thing to know that God has, you know, God has a plan. It's another thing to know that there are some specific things that God wants to use in our life to help us fulfill that plan. I love Johnny earlier talked about, Johnny Green talked about the tithe. And, you know, the truth is if you have a vision for your finances, if you want to see your finances move forward and you want to move to a new place where your finances are concerned, well, you certainly can't try to achieve that on your own as a believer. But you go the way God says to go. And I, you know, I have to inform, a lot of times I have to inform Christians of this. Some Christians don't know that when you became a Christian, your money became Christian as well. I know some of you don't know that. It's news to you today, but your money went through a conversion process as well. And as a believer, listen, it's very important. As a believer, as a Christian, the Bible says that the first 10% of our income, the tithe, belongs to God. It's got his name on it, J-E-S-U-S. His name is written across the first 10% of your income. In fact, the Bible goes even further and says that it is holy, and it belongs to God. It's kind of like when you go to, you know, when you go to work and you're kind of getting hungry around lunchtime and you don't quite have enough time to go out, so you kind of go snooping around like the little breakout, you know, break room, you know, kind of you're going in the fridge and you're kind of digging around looking for something, and you see this like crawfish etouffee. And you start like, wow, that would be awesome. And then you look a little closer and you see a little piece of tape and it's got someone's name on it, Juan. And you're like, what is Juan doing eating crawfish etouffee? That ain't Juan's. Everybody say Juan. Juan. And the truth is, it's got Juan's name on it. So if you took it, you would be taking what belongs to Juan. Now, how many of you know, when it comes to our finances, if we're going to believe for God to bless our finances and move our life forward financially, but we're going to take what belongs to God? Man, I hope those are a nice pair of jeans you're wearing. They got God's name on it. I hope that was a good lunch. Come on, anybody hearing what I'm saying? Because you took what belonged to God and used it on yourself. Don't think that you can really see your life move forward if you take what belongs to God. See, that's just being filled up with the knowledge of God. And the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. You know, people say, well, the tithe, yeah, I give a tithe and I give 5%. Well, the tithe, that word means tenth. And that's kind of like saying, you know, that's a foot and it's only 8 inches long. No, that's 8 inches. A foot is 12 inches. Come on, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And so we got to make sure that we're filled with the knowledge of God if we want our dream to come to pass. Otherwise, we just stay frustrated, never moving forward. How about this one? Filled up with faith. Filled up with faith. You're going to need faith because you're going to face challenges. You have a dream. You have a vision. You're believing God for something. All along the way, there's going to be little challenges or big challenges. And so instead of shrinking back and crumbling and, you know, breaking down, you rise up in faith, filled up with faith. Or how about this one? Here's another one. Filled up with grace. Boy, that's a good one. See, the truth is we need grace. Grace is more than just something we do before we eat. Grace is the empowering presence of God that empowers us to be who we are called to be, to do what we are called to do. And everybody has grace. There's grace in your life. There's grace in your life to fulfill the will of God in your life. There is grace. God has given you grace for that man you're married to. I know you wonder sometimes, but you have grace. God's given you grace for those kids that he's given you. Come on, can I get an amen from all the parents? Johnny, God's given you grace for those four boys that are tearing up your house. We need grace. And I tell you, have you ever felt like, man, I need more grace? Well, let me just read you this great recipe. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humility brings grace. You need more grace. You humble yourself in a greater way. God brings more grace. Fed up, filled up. Let me finish with fired up. Everybody say fired up. Fired up. Well, fired up has to do with passion. It has to do with being passionate. And there's this great verse that we quote all the time at church, and it's pretty powerful. Romans 12, verse 11, and it says this, never be lacking in zeal. Now, if you look at it in your Bible, you know, there's no, like, little asterisk to some fine print at the bottom of the page, you know, except on Mondays or except, you know, when you get your grades back or except when, no, never be lacking in zeal, never. So there's really no way out. There's never an out. There's never an excuse. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That word fervor means hot. So in other words, we have to stay on fire for God. And we actually can live our life where we're full of the fire of God. No matter what we're facing, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves, no matter what setback, and maybe you know, maybe you're here, and you know that dream that you're believing is, you feel like you're even further away from it than ever before in your life, and maybe for some of you, kind of set down that dream because it certainly didn't seem like you know it's ever going to come to pass. But you got to stay in this place where you're kind of believing God, and you're kind of fired up. You're always in this place of staying fired up. You know, that word passion, here's what's interesting. That word passion was originally used to describe what Jesus experienced on the cross. It was so intense and it was so amazing and unbelievable. They didn't have any word to describe it, so they created this word called passion. Now we use it to describe many things, but originally it was used to describe the intensity that Christ had in those moments. And how many of you know Jesus wasn't just passionate on the cross, but he lived a passionate life. He was always so full of the things of God. Well, listen, you know, so goes he, so goes we. We can live that kind of life as well, full of the fire of God, full of the passion of God. And if we're all truthful, you know, there are seasons and times in our life when everything seems to be working against the fire that's on the inside. How many of you know life sometimes can be a wet blanket in our lives, but we have to stay in this place where we're full of faith, full of the fire of God, full of the passion of God, staying fired up. That's why we got to do the simple things and keep the simple things in our life. It's amazing how powerful they are. Reading the Bible. Going to church, being a worshiper, giving your tithe, serving, whatever it is, keep those things going in your life because they all contribute to that fire and that intensity that's in your life that you need every season of your life so that you can keep edging ever closer to the dream, to the vision, to the thing that God's put in your heart. So come on, fed up, filled up, and fired up.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.